We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. 12:50 a.m. The Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvat. Yesterday was pretty fun. Two NFL games. One, a complete waxing. 38-10, the final between the Cardinals and the Cowboys. Where have I seen that score before? All right, Sunday, Buccaneers over the Packers. We can say that the Buccaneers aren't really 28 points better than the Packers, but the Cardinals appear to be 28 points, maybe more better than the Cowboys. And you had Chiefs-Bills, 26-17. So two games yesterday. I don't know if you guys were able to. Maybe you're at work around that time. If you're up with us bright and early, maybe you are home by that time. But I watched the 7 hours of football, and I'm trying to think back and do math quick. Because going back to Saturday, I think I've watched 28 hours of football in 3 days. And if I had to do it again tonight with two more games, I could.
I watched the Packers before I watched those two games. I rewatched Tampa Bay.
Oh, look at that.
It was painful.
Why did you do it?
I don't know. It was worse, actually. It was worse the second time than it was the first time when I was expecting a good game, maybe even a shootout, bet a couple bucks on the over. It was terrible. It was worse even.
Did you learn anything the second time?
The defense is even worse than expected. The safety position is really bad right now. Darnell Savage was awful before the injury. Adrian Amos was pretty bad. Preston Smith, who the first 5 weeks they kept dropping back in coverage, was nowhere to be found in this ball game, and the offensive line was an even bigger mess than I thought, even before the Bakhtiari injury. Nothing good from that game. So I deleted it off the DVR. Nothing really to go over from it, just kind of the same stuff that we said yesterday, but just much worse the second time around.
See, I used to, in this position, you know, we're sports talk radio guys in the state of Wisconsin.
Position of power.
All right.
Yes.
So what I used to do is I would watch the game like a fan live. Then immediately after, I would rewatch the game and take notes. And then on Monday or Tuesday, I would watch the game a third time just to really digest the information. And I really thought that rewatching the game was crucial to me doing this job. And over the last couple of years, I've realized that I don't want to do that. It's not crucial. I'm just going to watch it once. And especially if they lose, I'm not going to go watch that again. I know everything I need to know. The defense was terrible, and Rodgers folded after the two interceptions. Unless you found something else that I didn't see in watching that game once, I still have it on the DVR. I'm happy to go and rewatch it again, I suppose.
You know, I was expecting big second half adjustments, especially with the offensive line protecting Rodgers a little bit better. It was almost like it was just throwing the damn flag in the second half. Like, they did not want to be there. And that goes for not only the players on the field, but the play calls from LaFleur. Punting the football. What's the point of punting when you're down that many points? You know, even if you're going to put the Bucs in good field position, that game's over. At least take some shots. They just wanted to get out of there healthy, it looked like. They were so beat up in that game, and they were just outmanned. And Tampa Bay was just so much more physical that it honestly looked like, going back and watching that game, in fact, I put that on my notes, they wanted to avoid any more injury. Like, once Bakhtiari goes down especially, I think the game plan was don't get Rodgers killed. But also, we're not going to pull Rodgers and just wave the white flag on national television, but we kind of are. We're going to try to run the football, but not really run the football. We're going to punt the ball on fourth down. We just want to get out of here. We know this game's over, but obviously we can't forfeit. We can't just not, you know, come out of the locker room in the second half, but we don't want to risk any further injury. We just want to get out of here. That's what it looked like to me. They waved the white flag, I guess.
I'm not a big the game is won in the trenches guy, just because historically when I watch football games, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, you guys can chime in, 799-1250, 414-799-1250, all morning long. We will talk with Ryan Wood coming up, see what he saw, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, as we do throughout the week. Because I don't, like, I've always watched the ball. So as a fan growing up, I watched the ball. Some people's eyes, and this is more true if you played lineman in high school or whatever, some people's eyes actually watch the offensive lineman and defensive lineman on every play. My eyes just go to the ball. But then in the second half, I was noticing more. I thought, I'm going to pay more attention to the line. And what I saw was the same thing I saw last night in that Cowboys game, where the running back, whoever it is, just he can get 5 yards without the guys even trying. Like, that's a good point, avoiding injury, because there was nothing there either side. They didn't, you know, want to get hurt, and they would just let on Sunday it was Ronald Jones. They'd just let him get the 5 yards, and then maybe a linebacker would bring him down.
Maybe,
because that's, you know, you kind of give up a little bit when you're down that big. You're just running out the clock, so to speak, both sides of the ball. And so that is one thing that I did notice. And that's a good point. I didn't think of it that way, that maybe they're just trying to avoid injury. I know we talked to Gary Ellerson yesterday. He thought maybe Aaron Rodgers could have left that game a little bit earlier. Maybe if they had Jordan Love, they would have done that. But I don't know. It is weird when you're in that position. Are you trying to win yet, or are you trying to avoid injury? Because there was a point, you mentioned punting. There was a point in the third quarter they were down 3 scores.
Yeah.
They were near midfield.
And they punted.
And they punted. And if you're going to do that, I mean, what's the difference between losing 28 points and 35 points? You might as well at least try for it. I never understand why teams do that. I get if you're down big and you're in within your own 20. I mean, you should punt. But punting, I think, a lot of these teams, and they've gotten better at it. You see a lot of more teams go for it on fourth down now. I think one thing you're seeing is you used to see fourth and two, fourth and three, the teams try to draw the other team off sides, and they never had any indication for going for it.
They call it a timeout or just eat the 5 yards.
You're seeing more teams go for it now.
You know, I'll say this, though, man. It was frustrating to go back and watch that and watch them just punt the ball on fourth down. And I'm not saying that they didn't come out in the second half and want to win the game. It's just, I think they knew after the first couple drives it wasn't going to happen. They couldn't move the football against Tampa Bay, especially with Bakhtiari not out there. They just didn't want to get Rodgers killed. But I'd be more frustrated being down 28-3 trying to kick a field goal in the third quarter like the big guy tried to do last night, Mike McCarthy. Holy cow. He may get fired before Adam Gase. He really might. He's a mess. And so I will say this. I watched the Cowboys last night, and I watched Mike McCarthy. Granted, he has to play now, or he has to coach with Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback. But I do feel more comfortable that Matt LaFleur will bounce back against the Texans than I feel that the big guy, Mike McCarthy, would make adjustments against the Texans, because they do need to make big adjustments. And I think you need Tyler Irvin back, and it's crazy that I'm saying that. But there was nothing creative about that offense on Sunday. That was the other thing. I watch Dallas last night, and then I watched the second half of that game, and it was just Aaron Rodgers, lead us back if you can. And I felt like I was watching a Mike McCarthy offense again. There was nothing creative about it. Drop back, get hit, somebody try to get open, receivers running routes deep down the field, not getting open, not creating any space, nobody's open, try to force something to Devontae, MVS, put him on a milk carton. It was tough to watch. It really was. Nobody could create any space offensively. But I do feel better that they'll make adjustments.
Well, here's the irony of it all. Matt LaFleur is 4-1. He's in second place. Mike McCarthy is 2-4. He is in first place in the NFC East.
Yeah.
Dallas, they can lose. I mean, they're in trouble. Their offensive line, the entire offensive line is hurt.
Zeke was fumbling last night. Andy Dalton looked awful. I know we've always said, hey, we want a backup quarterback that has played and is a veteran, but he looked worse than whoever Smith O'Callaghan was, whoever their third stringer is.
Yeah, who is that guy?
I don't know.
I was calling for him because I had the over in that game and I had the Cowboys. So got off to a great betting start. I know everybody's
what is
worried
that guy's
about
name?
It. I don't know. You check that. Okay. I hammered the Chiefs and I got a -3, so I win that despite a
Ben
late
DiNucci.
Sweat. Yeah, exactly. I hammered the under. I hit that. Then I'm like, okay, Cowboys, Cardinals, we're going to see a lot of points even with Dalton out there. He was so bad. He throws two picks. Well, Ezekiel Elliott screwed him right away.
Yeah.
Two fumbles. They go down 14-0. Yeah, then they kept showing this guy on the sideline. And I love the backup quarterback game. It's my favorite. I love backup quarterbacks. I always have. I just love. I'm like, Mark Sanchez, he's still in the league. Awesome. Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, you know, just the backup quarterback game was always fun. Now, I'm like, who the hell is Dallas's third string quarterback? I honestly thought Kellen Moore was going to take off the headset, throw on a jersey, and throw a helmet on at one point last night because Andy Dalton stunk. Now, could he get any worse? Probably not. It was his first start. Maybe they figure something out. But, I mean, he's one of the highest-paid backups. There shouldn't be that big of a drop-off, and there was last night. Dallas is screwed. Well, I want to say they're screwed, but they're in the worst division in football.
They're not screwed.
I still think the Eagles win that division.
I don't know, man.
We'll see what happens this. I mean, if the Eagles are able to beat the Giants this Sunday.
Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's the Thursday night game. Wow.
Yeah.
So we sat through that last night. That was a terrible Monday night game, by the way. We were blessed to get Chiefs-Bills. And you know, that wasn't what I expected. The Bills really struggled. The rain, I think, played a big factor. You know, Josh Allen didn't really do well with the wet ball. Luckily, we got to hear from Troy Aikman again last night, who was on the broadcast for the second straight day for Fox. He talked a little bit about the wet ball, how he used to struggle throwing a wet ball, in case people forgot. But Josh Allen struggled. He really couldn't grip that thing in the first half. Patrick Mahomes even struggled in the first half, but they just ran the football down the Bills' throat. That's what I'm talking about when you look at good teams in the NFL, too. Not to jump all over the place, but we keep doing our power rankings. You know, when we talk about these teams in the NFC, are the Saints still good? Is Tampa Bay the real deal? Defensively, they look great, but can Brady hold up? You know, are the Packers the class of the NFC? I think, like, because I have big picture Super Bowl in mind, I like to look at the AFC teams, too. And, like, do you think that the Packers could hang with a team like Kansas City? Because it's not just Patrick Mahomes putting up 45 points, throwing four touchdowns a game. They pounded the football last night. They almost ran for 300 yards against a Bills defense that's struggled this year, but it's still, you know, they got some playmakers on that side. They pounded the football. They looked good defensively. You look what Tennessee's doing. Like, do you think the Packers are a top five team right now, legitimately?
Well, we will do that at some point. I'm going to say off the top of my head, good question.
Yeah.
Because they are still a good team, but the problem with that one loss to Tampa is it kind of, all the good feelings that you had about the Packers, everything you felt good about, looked bad on Sunday.
Well, I'm just like, what's really changed from last year, you know?
So it's like, should one loss erase the good feelings of 4 weeks? And you're right, it does feel very similar to last year. And last year, the Packers did beat the Chiefs. And a lot of us like how they played in that game, but remember, it was Matt Moore starting and not Patrick Mahomes, who clearly is a different animal when it comes
Matt
to
Moore, yeah.
Matt Moore and just NFL quarterbacks in general. I mean, even plays that aren't supposed to be that heroic look like the greatest thing ever because this guy is just that good. And I know announcers fawn over him, and I know there's other quarterbacks making cool no-look pass throws, and they seem to give LaFleur more attention. Mahomes more attention than anybody else, but he deserves it. He is that good. He can turn any play into a positive play. So, no, I don't think the Packers at this point could keep up with the Chiefs. And one thing, I didn't bet on any of these games last night. I didn't take any overs or unders. One thing I absolutely would have was a no-brainer was whatever the yardage was for Edwards-Helaire. With Le'Veon Bell coming next week, you figured he was going to have a big one.
I didn't play that. I should have, though. Yeah, he ran. What did he end up with last night?
161.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
he was awesome.
And they're adding Le'Veon Bell.
Who will be huge, not only in the run game, but catching passes out of the backfield, too. That's the thing. They're only going to get better.
The Chiefs, guys, who have no need to get better.
They just want to get better. Tampa Bay, after.
Found a way to get better.
Tampa Bay beats the Green Bay Packers. and then trades for a defensive lineman. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
the Packers, meanwhile, I have a fan base that's doing PR work for them because you guys love the Jordan Love pick so much. 6'16", the first Jordan Love mentioned today.
Well, that's just what I hate, though. It's like you need more weapons, regardless if you're scoring 35 points a game and not turning the football over. Because what happens in the NFL? Injuries. You need more depth at the important positions, especially the wide receiver position. You can't be relying on, you know, Tyler Irvin splitting out or using Aaron Jones as a wide receiver or MVS actually making consistent plays, because it's just never going to happen. You need to add more pieces, more depth, if you're going to compete for a Super Bowl. The Patriots do it every single year. Last year, do you think they needed to go out and get Antonio? Well, they did, actually, last year. Need to go out and get Antonio Brown. But then, I mean, Josh Gordon, they do it every year. The Ravens do it every year. The Chiefs continue to do it. And that's what drives me nuts, man, is that you were a game away from the Super Bowl. You're a very good team. Why not try to become a great team? No, and I'm not going to say that they're not trying. They wanted to bring in Snacks Harrison, too, but he just picked to go to Seattle and jump on their practice squad instead. You know, we heard that they tried to trade for Robbie Anderson a couple years ago at the receiver position and just couldn't swing a deal. They tried to go after Emmanuel Sanders. He just chose to go play with Drew Brees in New Orleans instead. So maybe they're trying, and just nobody wants to come to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We will go up to Green Bay, Wisconsin, where Ryan Wood is. We'll check in with him, the latest on what's going on with Green Bay. And we've got to dig more into this. Why can grown men have an entire week of football be determined by their practice? These guys aren't 15-year-old kids, and yet suddenly practice is the most important thing in determining how they're going to play in a football game. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on The Fan.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our Green and Gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We are dissecting, like a frog in biology class, this loss.
I never got to do that.
You know, I never did either.
I would never want to do that. I don't like cutting into things.
Yeah.
Does that make me a snowflake or whatever? I don't know. I've never, like, remember.
You won't cut a frog like a real man.
My buddies, when we were at Western, got into this weird stage where the only thing that was ever on our TV, if it wasn't sports, was, like, the G4 network with Olivia Munn. But they also liked to watch, like, surgeries for some reason. So I'd come home and it'd be, like, some guy's brain being operated on. Just never really into that.
What kind of drugs were they on?
Molly? Could I say that on air?
I think that's the answer.
Shrooms?
there you go.
Yeah.
Ryan Wood joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I'm going to tell you, Woody, just my quick synopsis of this game, and then I want you to jump off that. So I think that this was a bad game, and if they play it again, it's going to have a different result. It certainly turned with those interceptions. I don't like that after the interceptions, the Packers seem to forget how to play football. I think a disturbing trend is these losses with Matt LaFleur do seem similar in that if they get beat up a little bit early to a good team, they are going to kind of throw in the towel. I think there's still some moves that they could have made, should have made that caught up with them. I think this right now where they're at is they're going to beat the bad teams. They're going to lose to the good teams. And this year is going to play out like last year. That's kind of where I'm at today.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if we're supposed to agree on every point, Bart, but that's pretty much how I saw it. You know, a year ago when they went to San Francisco and they lost by 29 points, I don't know about you, but I kind of got the sense that, you know, this team really is 29 points worse than the 49ers. Like that team was a lot better than the Packers. And sure enough, they proved that later in January. I get the Bucs aren't 28 points better than this Packers team. There's some really fluky stuff that happened. And like you said, it was not a great sign that they handled adversity about as poorly as you could possibly handle adversity. I mean, they just disintegrated on both sides of the ball. That's something that can't happen to championship teams. But it's also something that in your fifth game of the year, it's not the worst thing to have that experience and to realize that, hey, everything's not going to go perfect all the time, and you have to be mentally stronger than what you showcased yesterday. So, to me, it's the problem isn't what happened. The problem would be if they didn't respond well from it, and they're pretty fortunate that they have Houston coming up next, and that's a good opponent to rebound against. It's a difference between a one-game anomaly and the start of a new trend. And to me, I think we'll look back at this as more of a one-game anomaly than the start of a new trend.
Ryan, let me ask you a question. Maybe you could tell me if I'm crazy, because I get that you're playing from behind in the second half and that the first half ends up being a disaster. But I felt like I was watching a Mike McCarthy coach team today with Aaron Rodgers dropping back, and they blitzed him 17 times, and he was off all day. And then you look at the running game, and it obviously was not Aaron Jones' day. He gets 10 carries, average about a yard a carry. But you look at what A.J. Dillon was doing on just five carries. He had a six-yard average, 31 yards on just five carries. Jamal Williams, 34 yards on just four carries, rips off a 25-yard run, and then we don't see him again. Do you feel like maybe they abandoned the run? I get you're playing from behind, but do you think maybe they abandoned the run a little bit too quickly and, I mean, should have went with more of a power running game?
I don't know if you have much of a choice when you're down 28-10 at halftime. You know, to me, obviously the interceptions was the turning point of the entire game. They're up 10-0 and then it's 14-10 down in about 5 minutes, right? But another huge critical moment in that game is when the Packers were kind of on the ropes, and I made the analogy that they kind of seemed like a boxer that was dazed and just trying to get through the end of the round so they get to their corner. And they got the knockout punch with that touchdown with a minute to go in the second quarter, which made it a 28-0 second quarter, which made it 28-10 at halftime. You're down three scores then, and that just changes the game. If they could get out of that with just giving up 3 points, and instead of being down 28-10, just be down two touchdowns, 24-10. It's a big difference. The other part of that, they couldn't get much going against the Bucs' number one run defense. I mean, that defense entered yesterday giving up 58 rushing yards a game. Running it into the teeth of the league's top-ranked run defense when you're down three scores in the second half, that's not a great recipe. So, I get why they did that. You know, they didn't have much of a choice. It did force them to abandon the game plan. And another big part of the game is, you know, I wonder if we learned that Tyler Irvin's one of the more important players on this team because of all the stuff he does. I mean, he doesn't show up in the box score. He's not a fancy football star.
The motion, though, on offense, I thought made a huge deal.
All those
deal,
motions,
right?
All those jet motions, I mean, they build their offense off of that. And that's where a lot of the deception comes from with what they present to defense. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, Matt LaFleur said that they've got to return to that and revisit that because if you lose one player, it's not supposed to fall apart the way that it did. But it really fell apart with all without all those jet motions.
Ryan Wood joining us, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette, by Ryan Wood on Twitter. The turning point of the game, as you mentioned, clearly the interceptions. Rodgers asked about it after, and whether it was the interceptions or even when they're down 14-10, he had Lewis over the middle, whether Mercedes Lewis, you know, he's not the fastest tight end, or Rodgers missed it or whatever, whether he is too slow. You know, he blamed it on the wind. And I know these guys, you know, Tom Brady still hasn't admitted that he didn't know it was fourth down that last Thursday night. The wind, bad practicing, you know, every time they have a loss now, it's like, oh, we didn't practice well. I just don't like to hear that. I know he's not going to say, oh, I stared down Devontae and that's why I threw an interception. But this thing where they have a bad practice and it's coming off a bye and then they walk in and it's almost like you can tell based on the body language if they're going to lose this game or not pretty early. Why does that keep happening?
You know, the most interesting thing to me is I thought they looked pretty good in the first quarter. I mean, they dominated the clock. They were up 10-0. They were getting chunk plays. When they converted a 3rd-and-7, they converted a 3rd-and-10. They had 20 yards on a 3rd-and-10. A year ago, this offense had no chance in third and long, and they were picking him up. They looked pretty good in that first quarter, and Aaron Rodgers after the game was like, no, you know, there was no rhythm even in the first quarter. Even up 10-0, you know, all the big plays were off schedule, and they didn't feel good even then. And I mean, he would know better than I because he's on the field and he's in the actual rhythm of the game. But it looked pretty good in that first quarter, and it just seemed like everything turned on a pick six that was about the most shocking, least expected thing that you would have possibly thought you'd see when he dropped back for that pass. Because if you know anything with Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't throw picks, right? But he never throws a pick six. And that was only third pick six of his career. So, you know, I thought that was interesting that he said that they didn't feel like they were in great rhythm even before building that 10-0 lead. You know, bottom line, they can't fall apart the way they did on both sides of the ball. Offensively, they didn't score again after that play, and defensively, it's an issue. I think this defense is better than the 2011 defense, but more and more the differences between those two defenses are growing less and less because, just like 2011, there's going to come a time when this offense isn't going to be able to carry the day. It's rare that you see one side of the ball for any team in any year have just perfection throughout an entire season and not have stumbling blocks. It's going to happen. In those moments, you need the other side of the ball to actually step up and be able to hold the water. And this defense has been asked so little through the early part of the season to do that. And anytime it's been asked to do that, it's basically been unable. And that's a bad sign for this defense.
What do you give to the theory? A lot of tweets on this, calls on this, that the offense sputters because Rodgers focuses too much on getting Devontae the football. Not that they're better without him, but it disrupted the rhythm on Sunday.
You know, I don't know if that's something that we can conclude in one bad game. I think that it's possible. To me, it's just too small of a sample size to say, yes, this is definitive. They clearly struggle because he gets the ball to Devontae too much. And the reality is that he has spread the ball around quite a bit more. I mean, even early, you know, in week two, Devontae Adams wasn't getting the ball much when he was on the field after that opener and he was spreading the ball around. And then obviously Devontae Adams had the injury and hadn't been back since the second half of that week two game against the Lions. So I think it's too early to definitively say that. I think that last year it was more of an issue. You would certainly see that throughout last season. This season, it's just haven't seen it enough. Now this is why through four games, when there was a lot of guffawing about, oh, look, they didn't need to draft a receiver in the first round. Look how great this offense was. They're scoring. They're getting a lot of yards, but just wait till they play a really good defense and see if that's an issue or not. And I think that the talent discrepancy at receiver is still very, very real. I think that what you thought of the receiving position in April, it hasn't really changed. And that doesn't mean that this team – it's not necessarily a fatal flaw. Like, this team can still win a Super Bowl. It is still very, very good. The scheme has a lot of strengths. The quarterback, other than yesterday, has played very, very well. There's still a lot of star power on both sides of the ball, frankly. I mean, the defensive star power hasn't shown up the way that you'd expect, but it still is there. With that said, the talent discrepancy at – receiver is very, very real. So it is something that they're going to have to figure out when they do go against the better defenses.
Ryan Wood, by Ryan Wood on Twitter, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. Appreciate your hard work. We will talk on Thursday.
All right, take care.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. Coming up, we're going to talk more about last night's games, including the struggles that Mike McCarthy is having, if they're all on him, and why maybe it doesn't matter for him. He's got a little bit of a luxury that Matt LaFleur does not. Plus, more of your thoughts on the Packers-Buccaneers game, 414-799-1250. And if those two things aren't enough to keep you around, I have a math lesson for you.
And I'm going to talk some tennis. Or you got a math lesson.
Oh, I'm talking math.
Math.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got like 3 hours of math today.
You know how maybe they didn't do this when you were in high school, but people would always write, when you do a fist, your knuckles, people would write love on your fingers and hate on the other one.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
We didn't really do that. I tried to write
what
the
answer.
What is
that from? Somebody, L-O-V-E, they'd write it on their knuckles, love and hate.
I don't know. I used to try to write the answers on my hands. But then I'd smear them, and I'd be like, I have no idea what this says. What's your point here?
So
love, hate.
When you,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. On the knuckles. Right, yeah.
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 Love and hate.
Yeah.
So my math teacher would always put math.
No.
M-A-T and both.
On both hands.
Hands.
Why?
799-1250.
It's weird.
414-799-1250. I'm going to talk math next.
Sports Flash right now.
Good morning from the 1250 AM The Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvat. Update brought to you by DEA Take Back Day. Take back your unused or expired prescription medications at the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, which takes place Saturday, October 24th. To find a collection site near you, please visit DEATakeback.com. First on the Fan, the Cowboys fall to 2-4 on the season in Mike McCarthy's debut year. 0-1 playing without quarterback Dak Prescott for the first time in 5 seasons. Kyler Murray, meanwhile, improved to 7-0, a starter at AT&T Stadium, where he played plenty of high school ball and some college as well at Jerry's World. Last night, they fall to the Arizona Cardinals. The Cowboys do 38-10. Kyler Murray threw for 2 touchdowns, ran for another score in the win for Arizona. The Kansas City Chiefs, they move to 5-1 on the season. They run all over the Buffalo Bills, literally on Monday night, pick up the 26-17 victory. Andy Reid's club totaled 245 yards on the ground in the win. That was headlined by rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He had 161 of those yards on the ground. With his 2 touchdowns on the night, Patrick Mahomes became the fastest quarterback in NFL history to reach 90 career passing scores. He edges out Hall of Famer Dan Marino. Game 1 of the World Series takes place tonight as the Rays take on the Dodgers. It'll be Tyler Glasnow taking on Clayton Kershaw. First pitch is 7:09 on Fox. And the NFL has informed the Tennessee Titans that after reviewing how the team handled their coronavirus outbreak, they will face a potential fine. Individuals will not be disciplined. There was no discussion of forfeiting games or draft picks, but the team, again, most likely will be fined. We got more of the Bart Winkler Morning Show. He's going to talk some math with you coming up here on 1250 AM.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers have today off. Tomorrow, they'll begin to get ready to head to Houston to play the Texans. Matt LaFleur reviewed the tape of the team's 38-10 lopsided loss to the Buccaneers and had this to say about giving up 38 unanswered points.
Anytime you get punched in the mouth like that and really beaten handily in all three phases, you've got to be critical of yourself and learn from your mistakes. The big thing that we cannot allow this loss to lead into a bad performance versus a really talented Houston Texans team. You just can't allow one loss to become two.
After the game, Aaron Rodgers suggested this game might be the wake-up call the Packers needed after coming off the bye, but he still thinks they can win the division. Right tackle Billy Turner.
I'm never going to say that I think you need a kick in that to help you win, but at the same time, there's positives and negatives that come along with that.
Best Packers coverage on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Pass is picked. Intercepted back the other way. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Intercepted by Jamel Dean.
I was really, when I saw the formation, then I seen how like everything started to develop. I'm like, I have to make this play, because I know what's coming. And then once I saw him throw it, I was like, yeah, it's mine.
Jamel Dean, pick six on Rodgers, only the third one that Rodgers has ever thrown in his long career. And not only did he anticipate the play based on the formation, but Rodgers, as good as he is, stared down Devontae the entire time. And it was an easy pick six for Jamel Dean. Put the Buccaneers on the board, and then they scored 38 unanswered, beat the Packers 38-10. More of your thoughts on the game and the games ahead. Texans coming up this Sunday, 414-799-1250. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We will have a math lesson coming up, so do stick around. And if you're one of the guys like Horvath that's currently homeschooling your kid, this will be a good math lesson for them. So you can either take the copy and pull up the radio.com app a little later if they're not up yet, or have your kid sit by the radio. I got a little fireside chat for you. Got a couple of mics on the line. Our version of Mike and Mike. We've got, let's first go to Painter Mike. This is how I'm identifying you now, because there's a couple of mics on the south side. So you are now Painter Mike when you call in.
That's fine, because I am called Painter Mike on a job, too.
Well, look at that. I see. It's like I knew that. Turn your radio down, though. I hear myself.
It is, though. You can hear yourself. I don't want you to hear yourself, because you probably like to talk a lot.
He does. He does. He's also not an excellent phone screener. Ask him to do one job. He's going to have to read these basic phone screening guidelines, Mike. That's always the first thing I tell you. What's up, Mike?
Painter Mike.
Right. No, so I don't think you can say that the Packers are only going to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, Bart. I think they're a way better team, and we will play ahead of the sticks, and we will get it fixed. We are a better team. We were 13-3 last year for a good reason, and we just started this offense. So I think we will be a lot better. And I thought we would lose against Tampa at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I still think we'll be 13-3. I think we have a heck of a team.
You know, I think the first loss is always the toughest to deal with as a you know, any season.
It's like the first cut. It's always the deepest.
I'm trying to figure out, though,
right. What
happened in this game. Like, why – I'm trying to figure out and explain why they collapsed. They did collapse in this game.
Yeah, they did, but it was from the beginning. We weren't in rhythm the whole game. Because even with the 10 points we scored, we barely got those points. You know, we were playing behind the sticks the whole time. You know, how many third and longs did we have to go through just to get those 10 points? And I think we'll be a better team, you know, going forward. I think they will be.
How do you feel already? You got Houston coming up. How do you feel about that?
Oh, Houston's a mess. So I'm not worried too much about Houston. We should be able to win that game. We should put up 34.
I'm a little worried about Deshaun Watson against our defense.
Yeah. Well, that's just any quarterback, any offense. You know, you've got to worry about him. But I think we'll be playing ahead and they'll be playing from behind. So,
all right, Painter Mike.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for being a part of the show, bud.
No problem.
That's Painter Mike. Got a couple of mics on the south side.
Mike and Mike.
That's the mic that paints. Now we're going to go to the mic that takes notes before he calls in. Note taking, Mike.
What up, Mike?
Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. It's our HD phone lines.
Connection. Oh, I want to turn the volume up.
Yeah, okay. What's on your notes today, Mike?
This just blows my mind. They used to call me Painter.
Really?
I painted for 32 years.
You painted too?
I painted for 32 years. I painted mansion. You know who Chris Ford is?
Yeah, former Bucks coach.
Painted his house, a couple other Bucks houses.
Really?
And then I did new construction. And I painted lift equipment and then butter processing machines and McDonald's signs.
Oh.
It's just weird coincidence.
Very weird.
Questions first.
Yeah.
Yellowstone, anybody?
Yeah, good show. I like it.
You got into it?
Yeah.
You got into it?
I like it, yeah. Yeah, I think Bart should, too. I got into it a little bit, yeah.
Anything with violence and horses, I'm into.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
What about the pimple popper?
Yeah, you know what's funny? Bart and I were actually just talking about something similar. Yeah, really weird.
Oh, what was the other one you were talking about?
No. I think it's a really good show. So I used to be really into every Saturday night growing up, me and my dad would watch Westerns together. And you don't see them anymore. You know, nobody makes Westerns anymore.
Oh, yeah.
What was the last good one?
The only Western on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, Tombstone's. Hey, Mike, watch the movie Tombstone. I'm sure you've seen it.
Oh, God, are you kidding me?
It's a great movie, though.
Doc Holliday.
Yeah, great film. They don't make Westerns the way they used to.
Wyatt Earp.
Wyatt Earp.
And the bartender says, yeah, sure.
Yep.
Hey, if I wanted to talk Westerns, I'd raid my grandpa's VHS collection.
Oh, Bart doesn't like Westerns.
Come on.
He also watches a show called House Hunters, though, Mike.
Very good.
Yeah, a lot of people are into that stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
I call them women.
That Yellowstone, I can't believe we're talking about this instead of Packers, but.
You brought it up.
I'm moving to Montana. I'm buying that ranch.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Packers.
Okay. Tampa Bay or Packers? What is the temperature here going to a Super Bowl?
Well, I'm not ready to give up on the Packers. I think that Tampa Bay certainly has a shot. They have a good defense, much better than I think a lot of us knew. You know, Tom Brady's certainly no stranger getting to a Super Bowl. They've got a good running game. They've got good receivers. They've got a lot of good where you want good. Right now you have to give the edge to Tampa. I don't think if the Packers play Tampa again, they beat them by 28, but the Packers did lose to Tampa. Right now you probably have to give the edge to Tampa.
Well, you know what? If you're the management of Tampa and they miss the playoffs, Tom and Gronk might just say, I'm done. And they're back to square one.
Well, that's what they're going all in. So, like, the defensive lineman they pick up, everybody's like, he's 34 years old. Well, their window is right now. It's not like they're building to win in three years. Brady will be 75 years old at that point.
And is Patton on the sidelines?
I think he's back in the booth.
Oh, my God. If I'm the coach, I'm down there getting into some faces with a mask on.
Right.
They're making a lot of money. Now, listen to this. You might have a $28 million Tampa Bay team that could win the World Series.
I really hope so. I hope they win game one.
Do you know the Packers' payroll?
Are we talking Buccaneers or Rays or Packers or Brewers?
Tampa Bay.
The Rays.
Yeah, they have a $28 million payroll.
Yeah.
My question is, what do you think the Packers' payroll is?
A lot of money.
Year?
Well, if we're talking about the Packers, every NFL team's around like 120. Are you talking about the Brewers?
No, the Packers.
The Packers' payroll in 2020.
Why are we talking about the Rays and the Packers, Mike? I'm not following.
Well, I'm giving a comparison because I'm going to get to my last take.
The Packers are paying a lot more money than the Rays are, especially when you bring in the Smith brothers, Adrian Amos, and you give Rodgers that
deal.
Better
be a good payoff, Mike.
Yeah, you know, you got to get these guys motivated. Bad road games, I'm sick of it.
Me too.
San Diego, 49ers, Tampa Bay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So where's the payroll come in?
I don't want to hear about Kansas City no more. They don't hand you the Lombardi Trophy in week 6.
No, but they're good.
I still like the Rams.
Yeah.
I got a foul on them, but. All right. Well, thanks for taking the call.
Mike, have a good day, buddy.
You guys too.
Take care, bud.
That's note-taking, Mike. Maybe we can change him to Western Mike.
I got what he was saying there.
I didn't.
Hey, if Tampa Bay is able to win a World Series with $25 million of payroll, then damn it, the Green Bay Packers, who are paying all this money to Aaron Rodgers and Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, better be able to get up for a 325 kickoff against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and not bitch and moan that they didn't have a good week of practice. You know what? The Kansas City Chiefs, we keep hearing, well, you can't. How are you gonna even bring in a guy how can you pay Blake Martinez? You gotta pay Kenny Clark. You gotta pay Jair Alexander. Well, you know what you don't hear in Kansas City? Well, how are we gonna bring back Sammy Watkins, but also bring in Le'Veon Bell, but also make Patrick Mahomes the highest paid quarterback ever, also pay Travis Kelce, also pay Chris Jones, also pay. They find ways to get it done, like David Bakhtiari told the Wendy's Big Show. If you want to get it done, you get it done. You could always find the money. I agree with Mike. What a call. Screw you, Gutekunst. Fork up the cash and win a Super Bowl for us. Sorry.
No, I enjoy it.
I think that's what the point was.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
The whole narrative that practice was bad, so we played bad, I need to blow that up. And I also want to give, well, I'm going to steal from one of our part-time producers. So I'm going to steal his take.
Me?
No.
Another part-time producer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Even less part-time than you, I'm going to steal from.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'll give him credit, but I'm going to do that coming up after 7. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. My math lesson, I don't get what teams are doing with two-point conversions. I brought this up to you late yesterday. They were talking about it on the Sunday Night Football broadcast. Explain to me why, when you're down 9, you've scored a touchdown and now you're down 9, why teams go for 2 there. Because if you miss, it's a two-possession game. And if you make the extra point, then you're down 8, and it's a one-possession game. The reasoning is coaches like to know what they're playing for. That's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I think you should always try to keep it a one-possession game. The Bills yesterday, they were down 7. They were down 7 points late. They went for the extra point. So now they're down 6. They should have gone for 2 there to be down 5 because Kansas City eventually kicked a field goal to make it 8. That would have been a one-possession game, but because they just went for the extra point, it was 9. Two-possession game. This isn't the XFL. There are no three-point conversions. Why am I at home understanding math better than these guys on the sidelines? This is why I say I could coach a team to 9 wins.
But
this is why I say I could do that.
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk about that with you because I don't know. Do you follow Warren Sharp, Sharp Football, on Twitter?
I do.
Yeah, did you see the Mike Vrabel stuff? Because I wanted to talk a little bit about coaching. Now, let's stay on what you're talking about here, but just about, like, there's some coaches who overthink simple things like that, like a Mike McCarthy, but then there's some coaches that do some things that are just genius, and you're like, that should actually almost be illegal. But
well,
it wasn't.
Mike Vrabel last year, they did the delay of game penalties.
Okay, so we're just, yeah, you saw
it. With the punting. Well, last year in the playoffs against New England,
yeah,
they kept doing delay of game to get the clock down and really eat off 2 minutes. So Vrabel, they actually outlawed that. And then in Sunday's game, what they did was they purposely put 12 men on the field to get the clock to stop on defense so they had more time when they had the football.
Yeah, because the penalty stops the clock, time is what you want. You don't really care about giving up the yard. He knew Houston was going to score the touchdown. They save 40 seconds on the clock, win the game, right, or even the field goal, which would have made it a four-point game, which I'll retweet it if anybody actually cares. But I'm just saying, like, it's just amazing how football used to just be football, right? You know, like Mike McCarthy and guys, I'm not saying he's not intelligent, but, you know, like football was just X's and O's and this and that. Now, like, these guys are like geniuses, some of them. Like Shanahan, McVay, some of these guys really are smart, and some of them overthink like stupid things like that, like a 9 or 7 point game or going for 2. Like I said, I always treat it like personnel. Like, is the defense gassed? Let's go for 2 now. If the defense is still fresh and you scored on a big play, maybe I save going for the 2 for later on in the game when it's an 8 point game. I don't know.
I just think if you have the choice to be down 1 possession or 2 possessions, I'm going to take 1 possession.
I'm with you usually there. Right. But I understand. Yeah. Again, personnel.
Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. We are talking about practice. The Packers are. And it needs to stop. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.